and looked over my shoulder, back towards the apartment. Through the rain, I heard a dry and raspy hiss, underlaid with a sort of clicking growl. Blue frog eyes, reflecting the storm's lightning, came up the stairs from my basement's apartment. It focused on me immediately and started forward. The back fender of Susan's car, which she had parked outside my apartment, got in its way, and with the pad-tipped fingers of one skinny, soft-looking hand, it picked up the back of the car and tossed it to one side, where it landed with a heavy crunch. I tried not to think of those fingers around my throat. "You see," the image said, "mine to call. Time for you to die, Mr. Dresden." Another flash of lightning showed the demon falling to all fours and scrambling towards me, like an overweight lizard scuttling across hot sand to shade, in an extreme wagging motion that looked ridiculous, but brought it closer and closer at deceptive speed. "Deposit another quarter and continue your call, asshole," I said. I thrust my staff towards the shadowy figure, this time focusing my will into a full-fledged attack. "Stregalum finitas!" Scarlet light abruptly flooded over it, devouring its edges and moving inward. The image snarled, then gasped in pain. "Dresden, my demon will roll in your bones!" And then it broke off into a scream of anguish as my counterspell began to tear the image sending apart. I was better than whoever made the image, and whoever they were, they couldn't hold the spell in the face of my counter. The image and the scream alike faded slowly into the distance until both were gone. I allowed myself the smallest touch of satisfaction and turned to the woman on the ground. "Susan," I said, crouching by her, keeping my eyes on the onrushing demon. "Susan, get up. We have to go." "I can't," she sobbed. "Oh, God." She threw up some more. She tried to rise, but collapsed back on the ground, moaning piteously. I looked back at the water, gauging the thing's speed. It was coming, fast, but not quite as fast as a man could run. I could still escape it if I ran, full out. I could get across the water. I could be safe. But I couldn't carry Susan there. I'd never make it with her slowing me down. But if I didn't go, both of us would die. Did both of us have to die? Wouldn't it be better for one of us at least to live? I looked back at the demon. I was exhausted, and it had caught me unprepared. The heavy rain would keep fire, man's ancient weapon against the darkness and the things it hid, from being effective in holding it back. I didn't have enough left in me to do anything else. It would be as good as suicide to stand against it. Susan sobbed on the ground, helpless in the rain, sick from my potions, unable to rise. I leaned my head back and let the rain wash the last traces of shampoo from my eyes, my hair. Then I turned, took a step towards the oncoming demon. I couldn't leave Susan to that thing, not even if it meant dying. I'd never be able to live with myself afterwards. The demon squalled something at me in its hissing, toady voice and raised up both of its hands toward me, coming up onto its hind legs. Lightning flashed overhead, blinding bright. Thunder came hard on its heels, deep enough to shake the street beneath my bare feet. Thunder, lightning. The storm. I looked up at the boiling clouds overhead, lit by the dancing lightning moving among them, deadly beautiful and luminous. Power seethed and danced in the storm, mystic energies as old as time, enough power to shatter stones, superheat air, boil water to steam, burn anything it touches to ashes. At this point, I think it's safe to say I was desperate enough to try anything. The demon howled and waddled forward, clumsy and quick. I raised my staff to the sky with one hand, and with the other pointed a finger at the demon. This was dangerous work, tapping the storm. There was no ritual to give it shape. No circle to protect me, not even words to shield my mind from the way the energies of magic would course through it. I sent my senses coursing upwards towards the storm, taking hold of the formless powers and drawing them into patterns of raw energy that began to surge toward me, toward the tip of my staff.
"Harry," Susan said, "what are you doing?"
She huddled on the ground in her evening dress, shuddering. Her voice was weak, thready.
"You ever form a line of people holding hands when you were a kid and scuff your feet across the carpet together and then have the last person in the line touch someone in the ear to zap them?"
"Yeah," she said, confused.
"I'm doing that, only bigger."
The demon squalled again and drove itself into the air with its powerful toad legs, hurtling towards me, sailing through the air with a frightening and unnatural grace. I focused what little I had left of my will on the staff and the clouds and the raging power above.
"Ventas," I shouted. "Ventas fulmino."
At my will, a spark leapt from the tip of my staff toward the clouds above. It touched the rolling, restless belly of the storm. Hell roared down in response. Lightning, white hot fury, with a torrent of wind and rain, all fell upon me, centered around my staff. I felt the power hit the end of the soaking wet wood with a jolt like a sledgehammer. It coursed down the staff and into my hand, making my muscles convulse, bowing my naked body with the strain. It took everything I had to hold the image of what I wanted in my mind, to keep my hand pointed at the demon as it came for me, to keep the energy surging on through me to wreak its havoc on flesh less tender than mine. The demon was maybe 6 inches away when the storm's fury boiled down my body and out through my arm, out of my pointing finger, and took it in the heart. The force of it threw the thing back, back and up, into the air, and held it there, wreathed in a corona of blinding energy. The demon struggled, screaming, toad hands flailing, toad legs kicking. And then it exploded in a wash of blue flame. The night was lit once more, bright as day. I had to shield my eyes against it. Susan cried out in fear, and I think I must have been screaming along with her. The night grew quiet again. Flaming bits of something I didn't want to think about were raining down on us, landing with little wet plopping sounds upon the road and sidewalk, the yards of the houses around me, burning quickly to little briquettes of charcoal, and then hissing into sputtering coolness. The wind abruptly died down. The rain slowed to a gentle patter, the storm's fury spent. My legs gave out, and I sat shakily on the street, stunned. My hair was dry and was standing on end. There was smoke curling up from the blackened ends of my toenails. I just sat there, happy to be alive, to be breathing in and out again. I felt like I could crawl back to bed and go to sleep for a few days, even though I'd gotten up not a half an hour ago. Susan sat there, blinking, her face blank. She stared at me. "What are you doing next Saturday?" I asked her. She just kept on staring for a minute, and then quietly laid down again on her side. I heard the footsteps approach me from the darkness off to one side. "Summoning demons," the sour voice, disgusted. "In addition to the atrocities you have already committed, I knew I smelled black magic on the winds tonight. You are a blight, Dresden." I sort of rolled my head over to one side to regard Morgan, my warden, tall and massive in his black trench coat. The rain had plastered his gray hair down to his head and coursed down the lines of his face like channels in a slab of stone. "I didn't call that thing," I said, my voice slurred with fatigue, "but I damn well sent it back to where it belongs, didn't you see?" "I saw you defend yourself against it," Morgan said, "but I didn't see anyone else summon it up. You probably called it up yourself and lost control of it. It couldn't have taken me anyway, Dresden. It wouldn't have done you any good." I laughed weakly. "You flatter yourself," I said. "I sure as hell wouldn't risk calling up a demon just to get to you, Morgan." He narrowed his already narrow eyes. "I have convened the council," he said. "They will be here 2 dawns hence. They will hear my testimony, Dresden, and the evidence I have to present to them against you." There was another more subdued flash of lightning, and it gave his eyes a wild madman's gleam. "And then they will order you put to death." I just stared at him for a moment, dully. "The council," I said, "they're coming here? To Chicago?" Morgan smiled at me, the kind of smile sharks reserve for baby seals. "Dawn on Monday. You will be brought before them. I don't usually enjoy my position as executioner, Harry Blackstone Copperfield Dresden, but in your case, I'm proud to fulfill the role." I shuddered when he pronounced my full name. He did it almost exactly right. Maybe by accident, and maybe not, too. There were those on the White Council who knew my name, knew how to say it. To run from the council convened, to avoid them, would be to admit guilt and invite disaster. And because they knew my name, they could find me, they could get to me, anywhere. Susan moaned and stirred. Harry, she mumbled. "What happened?" I turned to her to make sure she was all right. When I glanced back over my shoulder, Morgan was gone. Susan sneezed and then huddled against me. I put my arm around her to share what little warmth I had. Monday morning. Monday morning. Morgan would bring his suspicions and level his accusations, and it would likely be enough to get me voted dead. Whoever Mr. or Miss Shadows was, I had to find him, her, it, or them before Monday morning, or I was as good as dead. I was reflecting on what a miserable date I was when the squad car pulled up, turned on its spotlights on us, and the officer said, over the loudspeaker, "Set the stick down and put your hands up. Don't make any sudden moves." Perfectly natural, I thought, embracing a sort of exhausted stoicism, for an officer to arrest a naked man and a woman dressed in an evening gown, sitting on a sidewalk in pouring rain like a couple of drunks fresh off a bender. Susan shielded her eyes and then looked out at the spotlight. All the throwing up she'd done must have gotten rid of the potion in her, ended its amorous effects. "This," she said in a calm and dispassionate voice, "is the worst night of my life." The officers got out of the car and started toward us. I grunted. "Yeah, that's what you get for trying to go out with a wizard." She glanced aside at me. Her eyes glittered darkly for a moment. She almost smiled, and there was a sort of vindictive satisfaction to her tone when she spoke. "But it's going to make a fantastic story."